The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considered, but we're so damn good. It's the story.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Friday, the 15th of January in the year of our Lord, 2021. This time next week, it'll be President Biden that I'll be talking about, but today I'm talking about President-elect Biden. He addressed the nation last night, and the headlines tell the story. Biden outlines $1.9 trillion spending package to combat virus and downturn, says the New York Times. Biden proposes $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package, says the Wall Street Journal. The Financial Times abroad, Biden to push $1.9 trillion stimulus for pandemic-battered U.S. economy. So that's what he's proposing. Now, the background for what I'm about to read are some facts. Now, facts are interesting things. They're not often talked about, but we should talk about them today. The total national debt, that means the amount of money that the United States federal government has borrowed and spent in excess of the amount of money the United States government has collected in taxes and revenues and fees. So it's their debt, like the credit card, is $27.8 trillion. All right, $27.8 trillion. The annual gross domestic product of the United States, that's the sum of all the stuff we make in the United States, is $21.2 trillion. That means our debt is 130% of our GDP. Now, you might say, is that good or bad? Let me ask you, if you make $100,000 a year, and you owe $130,000 total on your credit cards and your, well, let me be more realistic. If you make $100,000 a year and you owe $130,000 on your house, you're okay. All right? Not great. Be better off to pay it off. But you're not out of sync with a 30-year commitment. If you make $100,000 and you owe $130,000 on your credit card, you're in big trouble. Now, the United States is somewhere between the first and the second example, because the $27.8 trillion is mixed up of many, many, many debt instruments, some of which are due today, and many of which are not due for 30 years. And it would be good to refinance the entire debt right now at low interest rates. But the problem is we can't sustain this. Here's what I really want you to hear. I told you the national debt is $27.8 trillion. In 1980, the national, and that's 130% of GDP. In 1980, the national debt was 35% of GDP. In 2009, when President Obama took office, the national debt was $12 trillion. In 2019, before the virus arrived, it was $22 trillion. So we are going to go from $22 trillion to $30 trillion in 2 years. the last year of Trump and the first year of Biden, and that's because of the virus. It's like World War II. It's a unique circumstance. The question is, how do we spend the money that President Biden wants to spend, and how do we address this debt? That's the number one issue for the GOP leaders, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, to address. In the Wall Street Journal this morning, two fellows at Hoover, John Taylor, who's the world's smartest man, and John Coogan, who's very close to being the world's smartest man, the good economist, write the following. President-elect Biden is promising another round of federal checks to stimulate the economy. Jumping on the bandwagon for $2,000 checks may be only the beginning, but history shows such spending does nothing to stimulate the economy. In the end, it only adds to the federal debt. Since the 1970s, one-time cash payments to individuals to stimulate the economic growth has been tried at least five times. Presidents Ford and Carter promised that their stimulus checks would restore economic growth by inducing higher consumption. More recent attempts by President Bush and President Obama were similar flops. One-time payments just don't work, America. They don't work. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't spend a lot of money on the pandemic. We should. The CARES Act was a massively successful effort to keep people employed by rescuing small businesses. What Coogan and Taylor write about is the necessity of avoiding short-run economic assistance except on humanitarian grounds, which is legit. I mean, people are hungry. They've got to get food. We got to do that. But the big debate in front of the country is, if we're going to do phase five, and we're going to do phase five because President-elect Biden won the election, and he has the narrowest of majorities in both houses. This has to be bipartisan or it won't work. You need 60 votes in the Senate to pass this. The filibuster is not going to be repealed. Even though Georgia Senate races both went to Democrats, it's 50-50. There are rules for a 50-50 Senate. Vice President Harris is going to be spending a lot of her time at the Senate. I expect Leader McConnell to do exactly what Leader Schumer did, which is slow everything down to a slow walk. But on this first action, there's got to be a compromise. Republicans want to spend money on getting people back to work by reopening business. And President-elect Biden says we need more testing. Not sure about that. I think testing is pretty easy to get right now. We do need maybe some additional public health infrastructure because the states have messed up so badly the vaccine rollout. But I do not believe that this will go through unchanged, and it shouldn't go through unchanged. We have a legislative branch, and the legislative branch is going to study it very, very, very carefully. The question is, when indeed will they get down to dealing with the most important thing? Now, the most important thing is how to spend the money and where to spend the money. I'm not going to talk a lot about the unconstitutional impeachment trial coming up. You know my opinion about that. I believe my opinion will hold sway. There aren't two-thirds votes to convict President Trump. So it's all a waste of time, in my view, and people ought to be focused on getting the vaccine rollout and on how to get the economy stood up again. The United States government and state governments shut down the economy that was the greatest economy in history. Now they're going to spend another round five of the, I'd call it stimulus. This really isn't stimulus. It's rescue. There are people who need rescue, people who were working, people who had good jobs. President-elect Biden also wants a federal minimum wage of $15 an hour. I think that is a mistake. I think it will destroy jobs for high school students and a lot of workers who don't warrant $15. I think more people will get more hours who are experienced. It's just a very bad thing for employment. But these are old, old arguments that we will continue to have in a 50-50 Congress. The 50-50 Congress. I mean, Nancy Pelosi can lose six votes, and the Republicans are going to win the Congress in 2022 after redistricting. Let's just get that through our heads. And there isn't going to be a repeal of the filibuster. So you need 60 votes to get anything through. So you got to pick up every Democrat plus 10 Republicans. Even the most moderate Republicans, like Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski, are not in favor of hosing down the country with money for no good reason. And so there's a conversation ahead. What do you want the money to be spent on? Another big trend. And do you worry about this debt? I repeat the numbers that I want you. The national debt is $27.8 trillion. We pay interest on that. And when interest rates go up, we are going to face incredible inflation. They went up from 1.09 to 1.13 on the 10-year Treasury yesterday. And so Birch Gold brings you this market update. And I'll do it after the break, but gold's at 1853. And if what I expect is coming, people are going to want to own some gold. And so pay attention to the next segment, or you can go to hughgold.com at the break, and we'll talk about what happens when hyperinflation comes. This sort of debt, it's been smoke and mirrors. We can do a little bit more, but we need a plan. What do you think? 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. John in Sacramento. Good morning, John. 1-800-520-1234. You're up early, John.
Yes, well, I drive trucks, so I don't have a choice.
Oh, there you go. I hope there's no fog on the five. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, say, listen, you know, I don't think that debt's coming down, but my question is, because they're just going to keep spending, my question is, what's the number that's going to bankrupt everything? I mean, $27 trillion, did you say?
$27.2 trillion.
Yeah, so where does
$27.8 trillion. I'm sorry, John, $27.8 trillion. It's almost $28
trillion. So what's the number that bankrupts everything?
Well, it doesn't happen that way. What happens is that the value of the currency erodes, and then people begin to raise prices to get more of the currency. And you have a lot of fake money chasing the same amount of goods, and that brings on inflation, and it can become hyperinflation. Now, in World War II, when there was rationing, I believe we reached even higher than 130% of GDP. But as I said, in 1980, the GDP, the debt was 35% of GDP. Today, it's 130% of GDP. It's just simply skyrocketed in the last 40 years. And that's a Democratic-Republican Party problem. That's both sides. Nobody wants to tackle the debt. And now is not the time to tackle the debt. Now is the time to build the economy back after the virus the right way. One-time payments is not the right way, but we do have to be aware.
Let me get this straight. So it never bankrupts. It just inflates. So to the point where we can never afford something because our wages are not going up. So
correct.
We'll not be able to afford anything because everything's so high-priced, so then we have a huge recession, right?
Yep. We're back to the 70s with Jimmy Carter. And look, I am not against another round of spending. There are restaurants that need to reopen.
I don't give a crap about that, but yeah. The problem is we're going to suffer. It's inevitable.
Yes, it is. And that's why if we're going to spend money,
we're not going to do nothing. They're just going to keep spending. We have what? We just take this? I don't understand.
Well, John, the Republicans will be back, and they ought to run on a responsible reduction of the debt program and on responsible spending. Here's the worst part, John. We will have spent $5 trillion in a year and a half that we didn't have, and we will have done nothing to protect the country against China. Nothing.
They're not going to do nothing. They're invested over there. They're not doing nothing, period. We are going to end up... What the crap, man?
It's
not... I
can't
work hard enough. You know what I'm saying? I can't work hard enough, and yet they could give less.
You can't say that. We got to drop that, my friend.
Got it.
But you're right. You can't work your way out of this. The country needs a plan to persuade... And the answer is not. I sent a note to my friend Austin Goolsbee, a liberal economist. I'd love him to come on and explain to me. We just can't keep doing this. And the answer will be, well, we have to do it right now. And my answer will be, I know that, but what are we going to do about this monster mortgage on the future? That's my grandchildren's problem.
And it's our problem, too.
Sure. And if interest rates go up.
For allowing this to happen.
Yeah. All right, John, safe driving. Let me do that market report that I promised you, brought to you by Birch Gold. A lot of you are saying, what should I do with my money? Never invest in one thing, diversify, but have some gold, because if the hyperinflation that I have always feared comes, it's going to come soon. And the one thing that will inflate along with everything else is the gold. And gold is $1,852 an ounce right now. Not low, not unreasonably high, and you should have a portion of your retirement in precious metals or simply growth stocks, not value stocks, not 2.5%. You've got to be prepared for inflation. Gold is the best way to do some of that, and you should get your gold from Birch Gold, which you can buy at hugold.com. I got to go back in and get some more soon, and I bought it last year at this time from Birch Gold. I go to hugold.com. Or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P were down yesterday. Almost everything overseas is down. The world's beginning to assess the economic carnage. The Biden plan has not inspired markets. We will see what happens later today. HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. I'll be right back. Welcome back, America. Sonny Bunch is back on The Hugh Hewitt Show, the official movie critic of The Hugh Hewitt Show, to whom we owe, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of airline miles, but they're nobody's flying. And I believe those expired, Sonny. I'm sorry. So we're starting over again. Sonny Bunch, welcome. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Hugh. How are you?
Good. I am looking at a story from The Telegraph this morning. It's not what you were intending to talk about, but it's about roadkill and the attack by the conservatives on the BBC for Metropolitan Liberal Groupthink, the roadkill 4 episodes about the corrupt Tory minister being an example of that. Have you watched Roadkill?
No, I don't even know what this is.
Oh, it's a Hugh Laurie, terrific British drama that released this year. So I would recommend it to you. What do you want to recommend to we who are still imprisoned and cut off from our beloved theaters?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough out there trying to figure out what to watch. I mean, the best thing, honestly, that I've watched in the last, I don't know, couple weeks here, stuck at home, you know, not able to get out to the movie theaters. And this is a little more political than I usually get. But the best thing I've seen was, did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's post-riot video, Hugh?
No, I did not. I interviewed Arnold 2 weeks ago. Very good 30-minute interview with Arnold, but that's not what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, he put out a video after the riots on Capitol Hill about the, you know, just his experience as an American, as a immigrant to the country, and what he kind of grew up with in Austria, and how it shaped his views of the world. And again, you know, it's the sort of thing that could be kind of corny, because it's, you know, it's really a politician's speech, but it was really well done, with great production values. It's got this great soaring music in it. And it just again, it was a nice reminder that, you know, sometimes the best view of America comes from the people who weren't necessarily born here and who chose to live here.
Arnold is fantastic when he's talking about America. I mean, yeah, not when he's talking Republican, Democrat. I had a great conversation. I love talking to Arnold. He's been a guest many, many times. And he's fantastic when he's going about America.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
30 minutes. We need something else to watch, Sonny. We're just finishing season 3 of Goliath. And that went from being very good to being very bad.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff out since the last time we talked, of course. The streaming PVOD, premium video on demand, arena is a little bit stronger right now. You've got, I believe, News of the World, the new Tom Hanks movie, about a guy who, a veteran from the Civil War, who travels the country reading newspapers to people, and informing them about what's happening in the world. That is the basic plot of the movie. The actual drama of the movie involves him trying to get a orphaned young girl home to her family. Is very good. I strongly recommend it. I mean,
what service is it on?
Well, it's on premium video on demand right now, I believe. So if you go to Amazon Video or whatever and you can rent it, it's $20.
Well, that's part of the problem is that I haven't got HBO. I'm getting a new TV today because my 10-year-old TV doesn't work on HBO Extra or Now or Premium or
HBO
whatever.
Max.
Yeah. Yes. So it does work on Amazon and Netflix. Most people are finding their machines just don't have the capacity.
Yeah, it's a weird time, you know, with all the extra channels and all the streaming services. You got to figure out which one to get. But this one, again, it's just on video on demand. I mean, it's on if you want to order it through Amazon I guess on pay-per-view or whatever.
So you are okay with News of the World. Anything else? I really need this, Sonny. I think this is probably the most important segment of the week. People need to watch. I mean, we've all told each other to watch The Americans 100 times, right? We're done with it. What's new? News of the World.
Well, News of the World is good. It's very good. I quite like it. It is a little bit corny, but it is charming and uplifting in the way that Tom Hanks can very much be when he is at his best. HBO Max, speaking of HBO Max, you know, we've talked a bit about HBO Max and the fact that Warner Brothers is releasing their entire 2021 slate on HBO Max and in theaters simultaneously. But, you know, they came out with Wonder Woman 1984 over the Christmas break. Came out on the weekend before Christmas or the weekend after Christmas. Hard to remember at this point. That feels like it's been a year. Which is not very good. I didn't think that much of it. It's pretty standard comic book movie fare. You know, the plot of the film involves Wonder Woman essentially doing battle against a guy who can grant wishes to everyone in the world. It kind of positions itself as a monkey's paw thing. He grants people wishes. They lose something in return, and he gains their you know, deepest fears or whatever. It's just not that good. I can't in good conscience recommend it heartily. But if you're looking for something new, that is definitely a new thing that is out there. But you know, you mentioned all the streaming services, and there's so many options now. For instance, I was just watching the TV show Ted Lasso, which is on Apple TV Plus.
Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso. So here's what Ted Lasso was about. Ted Lasso is Ted Lasso. The character is Jason Sudeikis, who is playing a Southern college football coach who moves to Great Britain to coach a premiership soccer team. And the whole thing is kind of almost traditionally sitcom-y insofar as it is like got a big high concept setup and it's a fish out of water sort of thing. but it also is very kind of modern. You know, it's got some cursing, it's got some rough language, you know, so look out there if you're worried about that sort of thing. But it is so deeply charming and funny and earnest. And this is something that we are often missing in this new golden age of TV. The earnestness. It is an exceptionally earnest TV show.
Explain earnest, Sonny.
Well, I mean, what I mean is it's about a guy who is almost a life coach, right? You know, Ted Lasso, he's a coach, he's a football coach, but he's almost a living coach. He's almost a life coach. He's trying to teach these guys how to be better people. In addition to being, you know, successful footballer.
You know, every good coach I've ever met is that way. Urban Meyer is a casual friend. And Coach Meyer, by the way, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is great for Jacksonville. But he's a life coach for these young men. I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, that is the Ted Lasso theory of life, right, is that he's just trying to help these guys become better people in addition to becoming, you know, winners on the field.
So imagining Urban Meyer going to coach a soccer team in England?
Yeah, but a little bit goofier than that, because Ted Lasso, he's played by Jason Sudeikis, who most people will remember from SNL. He was also in the Horrible Bosses movies. He's been in some other stuff. He's just very, he's very, very funny. He's very funny and very kind of silly. But also sweet and, you know, earnest. Again, earnest. Earnest is the key here. I think it's a deeply genuine sort of look at a guy who's just trying to be decent in the world, in a world that doesn't really want him to be decent. Anyway, so the setup for the show is he goes to England. The woman who has hired him, who is the owner of this football team, wants him to fail. She has hired him to kind of destroy the team. It's almost like Major League. You remember the movie Major League?
Yep.
Charlie Sheen. So
who doesn't? I'm
him.
From yeah. Great movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. You're a Cleveland. You're a Cleveland guy.
Well, no, it's not a Cleveland team. But if you had a teenage girl or a junior high girl when Major League came out, it played on 24/7 in your house.
I'm talking about the Charlie Sheen baseball.
That's Wild Thing. Okay. I was thinking of A League of Their Own. You're talking about the Indians and Wild Thing with Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
They were trying to tank.
Yes, right. Exactly. So this woman hires Ted Lasso to try and destroy the team because she has won the team in her divorce. And, you know, part of the show is him helping her to, become, you know, at ease with life after divorce and all that. Again, just very nice, very sweet, but nobody has seen it, Hugh. Nobody has seen it. Maybe one of my favorite shows of 2020, Ted Lasso. It's not new.
That's because Apple TV is very difficult. Note to Harley, we got to put Apple TV on the new TV. But
Apple, so Apple TV is tricky, but, you know, everybody, you know, they get their new iPhones for Christmas. They get their new Apple products for Christmas, and most of those products come with a year's subscription to Apple TV. So if you can download it to your TV or computer or whatever, I recommend using that year's subscription that you got with your new iPhone to watch Ted Lasso.
Well, okay. And Sonny, how are you by the way, is Hollywood going to recover from this?
You know, that's a tough question. Tough question. So there are probably two different things to consider here. Will Hollywood recover? Yes, because we still need content for all of these new streaming services for, you know, HBO Max and for Netflix and Apple TV and the rest. There's a real need for that sort of thing. Will movie theaters recover? Much harder to say. Much harder to say. I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, we're now Universal Studios yesterday or the day before put out a story saying, hey, we don't know if things are going to come out when they're supposed to come out. Universal was one of the first studios to really get out there and delay things. I remember when the coronavirus stuff happened, they didn't push things back by, you know, a couple months and say, oh, okay, we're going to come out and we're going to have the new Fast and Furious movie out in August instead of May or whatever. They pushed things back. They pushed everything back a year. They were like, all right, we're going to do the new Fast and Furious, and that's going to come out in July 2021 or June 2021, whenever it's supposed to come out. They just pushed their whole slate back a year. And even they are now saying, we're not sure if things are going to be ready. You know, the slow rollout of the coronavirus vaccine has led to people not wanting to necessarily go to theaters. If the majority of the country that wants to get vaccinated, you know, there's so many people out there who are just refusing to do it. If the majority of the country that wants to get vaccinated doesn't get vaccinated until July or August, you're looking at tough times for movie theaters.
On that note, Sonny, good to have you back. Happy New Year to you. Everyone get a vaccine so we can go back to the movies. Get your vaccine because we want to save the country, but we also want to save the movies. Sonny Bunch on Twitter. Thank you, Sonny. Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Good Friday to you, Joe.
Good Friday. Seems like it, to heal you. And since we're talking about endings and Good Fridays and beginnings, perhaps that's what the poem should be about. Some leaders leave like life legends, like Coach Vince or Coach Parsegian, while others have a legacy that's far more Captain Queegian. It's best, the ancient wisdom goes, my point is nothing newish, to end la vie victoriously and not so Waterloo-ish. For everyone among us, and we've all been born to die, it's not the way you say hello, it's how you say goodbye. It's not a sin to stumble in, but friends, without a doubt, what's sure to be remembered is your trip on the way out. I think of Richard Nixon, Roseanne Barr, and Woody Hayes, remembered for an hour and not all their better days, and how that single moment, regardless what they won, contaminates the memory of everything they've done. No matter the accomplishments, it all may seem a waste, and leave both friends and enemies a bitter, bitter taste. Is it fair to recognize the flat and not the fizz? I don't think that it should be, but that's the way it is. And if you once agreed with me and don't like how I'm trending, remember that we still don't know just how this story's ending. That's The Worst Damn Rhymes in the Land by Tarzana Joe.
That's pretty close. I got to say, though, Shakespeare anticipated you. The good that men do is often interred with their bones. The evil lives after them.
Indeed. It's kind of a paraphrase of Shakespeare, yes. Most of
what
my
is
poetry
it?
Is, as you probably have realized.
What is the actual line?
The good is often interred with their bones.
Yeah. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often interred with their bones. I think that's correct. That's Anthony, right?
Yes.
So you're being compared to Shakespeare this morning.
Well, I've always been compared to Shakespeare,
but how to,
long on the bell curve, the long spectrum.
Well, pretty soon, the new poetry world.
He used words, you know.
Let's inaugurate a new season of poetry with Tarzana Joe. Are you busy, Joe? Are the requests for commissions coming into Tarzana Joe at Reagan.com?
Well, that was a good time to promote Valentine's Day.
Oh, you bet.
Love is in the air, right?
Well, who's the guy with the long nose who couldn't get the poet or the words right?
Well, you may be conflating two stories. You're talking about Cyrano de Bergerac?
Yes.
The guy with the long nose? Yeah.
Isn't that the guy?
Yes, that could be the guy.
Yeah, so I really conflate many things, actually, Joe. But, but you can provide a poem for the people who need one on short notice.
Yes. Cyrano wrote poetry for Christian de Neuville, and he won Roxanne.
Would you like to hear me pronounce that?
Christian de Neuville?
No. I'm not going to do it. Tarzana Joe at Reagan.com for your poetry needs. That poem and others available at TarzanaJoe.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, you.
The latest on vaccines, by the way, 30,628,000 doses of Moderna and Pfizer have been rolled out in the United States. 11,100,000 have been administered. So we are less than two-thirds administrative distributed, which is, again, the state government's failure. They'll get their act together, hopefully quicker rather than later. 9,690,000 people have received at least one dose. Only 1,342,000 people have received two doses. Got to do better, states. You just got to simplify it. Just open up a bunch of testing centers and tell people to self-select. 65 and older, people with underlying conditions. You have to trust people at something like this. And some people will lie and some people will be bad. But the overwhelming number of Americans will wait their turn and want the fragile to be vaccinated. It's not that hard. Trust people. From Tennessee, who do we have calling, Adam? Is it Eric? Hi, Eric. You're on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, Hugh. Good to talk with you. I think Sonny has a blind spot on some of his TV shows. He was talking about the Steve Lasso show, and he said language is kind of rough if you think that's important. And I watched quite a few shows of that, and just the pervasive F-bombs just drove me away. And I'm a retired military guy, and you know, I'm no prude, but I just couldn't take it anymore.
Well, you know, the people's tolerance for that, I personally mute anyone who is profane on Twitter because I don't have any personal tolerance for it. People can still get through my mute by tweeting directly at me to drop the F-bomb. But I don't think millennials understand, especially, or public people or Hollywood types, that half the country has no use for that. And it's an indictment of the speaker, not of the person who refuses to listen. But when Sonny says that, Sonny has a high tolerance. And so you're right to point out that it's completely, it's in the ear of the beholder, right?
Absolutely. And that drove me away from that Steve Carell show, Space Force. A great premise, real funny, but gosh, the F-bombs just killed me.
And you're military?
I am. I'm a retired Air Force.
Yeah, that and again, military, swear like a sailor is got a term rooted in history. But this is the way the world is, and people who are indifferent to profanity and vulgarity don't care. But I always tell young people, why do you limit your audience? Why do you not care to persuade? And they often, some will argue, we don't need to persuade anyone who's so intolerant of what is common speech. To which my response is, you're limiting your audience. There's a reason television doesn't allow it. They don't want to limit their audience. That's the reason why it's regulated by the FCC. It offends, it hurts, it injures. You're right, and I appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1234. What do you think of President-elect Biden's spending program? Hour number two coming up. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.